And action. Wow, that was good. Action. Welcome,
Almost
everybody.
broken.
Almost broke it. This is BNP episode. Now I need to actually get back in here. 240. It is 5th of March, 2024. And in the BNP Weekly, I always talk about the latest Microsoft 365 and the related technologies. My name is Sasa Juvonen. I'm a principal product manager in Microsoft 365 platform areas. And with me as a co-host is.
Hey, everybody. My name is
That's
Valdemar
right.
Stegars, and I am Cloud Developer Advocate for Microsoft 365.
Excellent. So we always talk about the latest, what's happening in the Microsoft 365 and related technologies. And typically, we actually also, well, we have a visitor and then we go through the articles. However, will be a bit of a special recording because next week will be the MVP Summit and I'll be traveling to Redmond. So we are recording this before and right after the previous episode. So we're not going to go articles. We'll collect all of them in the next one.
Oh.
This week, as always, we do have a visitor, and the visitor this week is.
How about we bring him in the show and let him
We
introduce
will bring
himself?
him in
He
the
is
show,
here already.
and he is here.
Hello.
It's you, Simon.
Hey, Izzy.
Hi. What a pleasure to be
Excellent.
here.
Thank you, Jussi. Thank you. Thank you. Now, let's start with the basics. Who are you and what do you do for a living?
Yeah, so my name is Jussi. I'm working for Experts Insight, doing a lot of adoption work, the M365 technology, also very active in the MVP community, running Collab Days, Helsinki, and Central Europe, or Zurich, basically. And now also lately got involved in Experts Live in the content team. So I'm very excited about
So is there something that you are not doing?
that. Good question. Good question. I should actually chill a little bit more if that is a good cue for that.
I think it's one of those treats when you are learned to say yes and get excited on opportunities, and then you end up
Exactly.
having like, wait a minute, why am I doing this again? So.
Yeah. But I'm not doing so many speaker gigs anymore, so I'm leaving that for the young and crazy ones. So exactly.
Crazy ones.
Yeah.
But again, and that's not a bad idea either to give more opportunities for the younger generation. I think I don't mind speaking as an example, but I've done my fair share of speaking, so I don't, you know, it's not a thing to be, you know, getting. Are you getting excited? Well, of course you're always getting excited, but still, do you need to get to the stage? Well, no, not really. So let's give the other people also the opportunity, right?
Are you trying to say that you ran out of things to said to say?
Yeah, we Finns, we
I'm
are so
so unlike
silent.
you.
You can see me and you see we are so silent people, so we Finns are.
You know,
Yes.
we are Finns. We are Finns. We are communicating without words, right? Right, Vesa?
You redefine being Finnish, I think.
True. Now, let's recap a bit on your site you see. So, you talked about adaption and expert insights. Can you talk about what is expert insight and what does adaption mean in that context?
So Expert Insight is a consulting company based in Zurich, not in Zurich, in Thurgau, Switzerland. A lot of our crew is based in Bern, but we are very dispersed in whole Europe. So we have a guy in Barcelona, then two or three in South Tirol, in Amsterdam, and two guys in Finland. So we are focused really on the whole Microsoft 365 stack on the technical side, but also on the adoption side. So helping users cope with the technology, what you guys produce in a very high pace. So this whole 3-year cycle of updates, obviously, it's not happening anymore. So we are trying to help the users to get or to cope with this new technology on a daily basis. And now we started this whole adoption project, I think 2019, and now we are a team of 7 or 8, just mainly focusing on adoption. And the cool thing is that Microsoft has also seen the need for that and is giving us tools and helping us now as well in this whole field. So I'm very happy about that. And you know me, I have been talking about adoption for over a decade now.
So that brings us also, I guess, immediately into an interesting question, maybe even two. Like you mentioned adoption, and you've been in this space for a long time. And you mentioned things have changed from a 3-year cycles to evergreen in a way. So Exactly. Instant train. It's going on continuously, endlessly, right? So one, what has changed? And two, what does that mean for customers with whom you work? And what struggles do you see typically when working with them and adopting the tech?
What we have now felt, at least on Experts Insight side, that customers are much, much more aware of the need of adoption. When I think back on the first SharePoint projects I have been in, that customers are like, yeah, adoption, we don't need that. You know, we just put SharePoint there and put it up, and then people can use it. You know, and what happened after that?
Build it, and they will come, right?
Yes,
exactly. so this whole mindset has changed, but I think it has also changed because also Microsoft is supporting and addressing it. So, for instance, right now I'm in this Copilot Jumpstart program where I'm working almost every day with Copilot, and especially in Copilot, adoption is really, really, really important. And also Microsoft has seen that and is giving an extra adoption jumpstart workshop just for adoption. And of course, this makes me really happy to be honest, because 10 years ago, no one cared about it, actually. And True. Now this has changed totally. Yeah.
We used to be dividing our customers. The Microsoft divided the audience either on developers or IT pros. And that was always so weird. It's like, what about the other people?
Exactly. What other people?
Actual users and business analysts and the actual people who will be using the software. It was always like, no, it's our responsibility. But then people like Caruana Katimo with the adaption.microsoft.com website and the work what she's doing together with Laurie and a lot of other people, and of course a lot of people involved there nowadays are helping on raising the awareness of the adaption. And also adaption is super important to maximize the value of investments, because again, did you know all of these features which you have in your tenant? What is this? Wow.
Yeah, exactly. I always say that customers, they buy the Ferrari, but they go with the tricycle to work.
Yes.
That's a great analogy. That's a great analogy. Because it's so much, right? And like, it's twofold. When, yes, you wanna be able to use the greatest and the latest, but just because you have it doesn't mean you truly get the most out of it. So what struggles do you see them have the most? Is it just the sheer amount of new things? Is it like trying to wrap their head, like, because everything gets so sophisticated that it's really hard for them to wrap their head around it if they aren't really that deep dive in tech? What are some things
This is a very let's say a many faceted question. It depends a little bit where you are, let's say on a geographical scale. Let's see, if you are in Northern Europe, people are much more further down the line than, let's say, people in Central Europe. I don't want to step on any toes, but this is just how I perceive the market
on average.
We talked about it in a show as well. It's Netherlands and Scandinavia in top of the spur, and then the rest of the Europe. And US.
So you guys also see that. So in that sense, when you are in Central Europe, you let's say deal more with still the basics. Okay, I mean, having people struggling with sync or how do I manage my document folders structures when I move to Teams. But in Northern Europe, people are way past that. And we see that already because I'm also involved in the PowerUp meetup group where we do Power Platform focused user group. And we have like almost 100 people coming to this event. And whereas in the Central Europe, this whole thing is still very, very much in the early stages. So you can already see that you have a very different scale of the problems people have. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of need to think, okay, how can I solve the problem of the end user now, but then see, okay, what problems will she or he have in 2 or 3 years? Right.
Yeah.
So that's a bit the split you're trying to do.
Maturity model of customer within the Microsoft 365, so to say. So.
But I guess it also brings it into an interesting space, because you are engaged with these two audiences. So in other words, you have a crystal ball that tells you where one group will be in a few years, because they'll probably have the same challenges that the other audience has, right?
Yeah, we live in the future.
But it's cold yeah. and snowy.
The future is cold. There you go. You learned it here on the show, episode 24.
The future is cold and dark. No, summer is coming. Summer is coming. it's a bit like that. Yeah, and of course you have also in Central Europe customers which are really, really advanced already and are, let's say, on the Nordic level, okay? But then you have others, mostly kind of public sector, which of obvious reasons just take longer to get there because they're much, much heavier regulated and so on. And especially in Switzerland, you know, Swiss people love their regulations and rules and bureaucracy and so on. Yeah.
How did you end it up? So you're kind of traveling between Finland and Switzerland a lot, obviously, yeah. because of this. How did you end it up in this kind of a situation, this multi-country setup, and how did that came to be?
I joined Expert Insight. It's now 6 years ago. 6 years ago, and before I was working in Switzerland, and I have been living in Switzerland and Finland a bit back and forth in the last 10 years. But in 2018 we decided to move to Finland and with my family, and I ended up then at Experts Insight. And since this company has from the beginning been like a digital nomad company, we don't have really a head office. I mean, the head office is in the office of Sam Samuel Zürcher, one of the co-founders or the founders of Experts Insight, and it's somewhere in the middle of nowhere. So you know, we never had really a headquarter or an office. So everyone of us works at home or in co-working spaces. So therefore, there was never really, let's say, a stationary workplace. You know, we always say work is not a place. It's basically where you put your laptop on and you start working on stuff you need to do.
Right.
So when you're joining Experts Insight, it doesn't really matter where you are. Of course, it helps when you are in the same time zone for your sanity and so on. But we look rather for talent or people with expertise than them being close to us. And we have this kind of culture that we meet every 3 months. The whole team meets somewhere and we do a workshop and then we do party and so on. So it's a bit like the, you know, the team building, because we don't really meet during the work days so often. Mostly, of course, the guys who are close to each other, they meet more often than others. But most of the guys I only see four or five times a year.
Yeah. Makes perfect sense. And that's really cool to be that kind of a digital nomad company. So we do have few examples, but then you actually know what you're preaching, right? Because you're using that for within your company as well on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
And it's also, I think the benefits you've got, right, is that it gives you the ability to really tap into the talent pool at large, as opposed to like we hire only in this location. And yeah, there is this person who would be perfect match. Like, yeah, but you cannot be in the office, so no. It's like,
It's actually simple example. I talked about this one 27 million times, but still, yesterday we had a new person joining our team, which our team is basically Finland, Belgium, US, multiple location, and Redmond. But then I started looking on things, and I've joined actually engineering team in 10 years ago in July, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So 10 years remotely. But seriously, when I started working, there was no Teams, there was no Skype meetings, there was nothing. Mm-hmm. The meeting invites basically were, let's meet up at the room X. And you're like, well, but you know,
how about me? Hey, that guy.
And I needed to, you know, send emails from people saying, hey, can you call me so I can at least listen to my phone what's happening within the room? And I didn't have the most, you know, empathetic manager. Absolutely brilliant person, but there was always like they were so busy as we were building stuff with SPFX and all of the other stuff, and you ended up on situations where you're like, hey, how
and
about
I think,
me?
Like, I think,
but again, that's the cultural thing and
say,
it evolves.
I think if you go that much back, I think it's fair to say that for the majority then it was new muscle to flex. It wasn't an intuitive thing. Like we
absolutely.
It wasn't a common thing you saw a lot. Like yes, like there were a few companies across the world who did that, but definitely not as many as now. So I think, if anything else, like you are again on the very edge of the edge. Like
exactly.
You you know, you took one for the team and you made it easier for everybody else.
Yeah, this is again also like a cultural thing. For instance, also Finns are really, really used to work from home, right? Yeah. So when the whole COVID stuff started for Finns, it was like, okay, it's just like a normal day. I'm forced to stay home. How cool is that?
Forced. Exactly. Oh no, so bad.
It is a little bit like that. This is kind of a story what I sometimes try or sometimes tell when I first joined Nokia 2010 as an external contractor. There was this one guy, an enterprise architect, and he was always remote, always. And he was usually like also in wintertime, he was skiing while he was in the meeting, and it was just normal, right? and I just moved from Switzerland to Finland and came into that culture, and it was really interesting for me because in Switzerland you couldn't ever imagine having a meeting, a business meeting, and someone is out there skiing. It would be absolutely be a no-go, right? So,
yeah. Well, but on the other hand, it only proves, right, that being in the office is not a guarantee of anything. And yes, you can show up in person and you can be still, you know, checking your email the whole time. So it doesn't really say anything. And I think it's good for us to finally revise our stance on like being in person and what does that mean. And as you said, like the example you gave with your team, you want to get in person to, you know, build the relationship.
Yeah.
But then like once you have that trust, you can work anywhere because like being in the office doesn't really mean anything anymore. Like it's definitely not a guarantee of great result and outcome.
Yeah, and of course it's very individual, but when I talk about myself, I will never ever be that productive in an office ever.
Yep.
At home office, I'm like 100% more productive, right? Yep. Because I have all my stuff
everybody
here, and I can really like go from meeting to meeting. I don't have any commuting time, so this is a bit the privilege of the information worker, right? Of course, there are jobs out there where this doesn't. It's not possible, right? But but at least from information worker perspective and in my perspective, I will never be more productive than being at home.
Yeah, but that reminds me of the fact, like when I worked a few jobs back, we had this office with an open plan. And it was really, really cool because it was, you know, convenient to get to somebody and ask them stuff. But I recall this one thing and it never really occurred to me then. But now that I think about it, like, that's weird. I recall this one time where we worked on an RFP for a customer, right? And basically the person who was tasked to write the RFP said, like, I am not going to come to office because I need to get in a zone to write this doc, this really big doc. And everyone was like, so we have this office and you're not in the office because you have to work. Like that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But it only shows, it confirms what you say, right? That it's exactly that. Like if you need focus, you got to be able to do focus work and you cannot do that with, you know, chat around you and noise.
Mm. But again, there are other things where it does totally make sense. So right now or today, I'm traveling to Switzerland once again to go meet with my customer because we have two program increment planning days. Where we plan the work, and there it's actually more beneficial to be
absolutely on play,
you know, 100%.
Because I did that before online, and you know, it works, okay. But you don't get the coffee talk and so on. And if you are there in this very intense 2 days where people come together and plan their work for the next 3 months, there it totally makes sense to come there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, in other words, like the office becomes a tool in a toolbox as opposed to, you know, a hammer and then everything's a nail.
Yeah.
Now, let's change the gears a bit. Let's go back on the adaption side and the Microsoft 365. Pace of change is all the time getting higher and higher and higher. What's your kind of a top 3-5 tips for how do you stay up to date? How would people know what's happening and how do you do that? You're reading a lot when you're flying. So.
No, I actually do it by getting to the conferences when I can and listen to the experts talking about it. So this is how I try to stay up to speed The other things is about solving problems at work. So this is the best way to learn, because even though there's a lot of new things, but there will always be questions from users about something. And even though you are like over a decade in the field, there will never be a day where there's something you haven't seen or something like that. So this is a bit something you stay up to date. For end users, it's really hard if they are not supported by the organization. So what we always emphasize for customers to build is kind of a champions community where they have their peers helping them, and it's sort of a person of trust telling you, you know, when an external consultant comes and tells you, hey, this is the way how you should work, because it's cooler and better, and hey, you can now put metadata on your documents. How cool is that? They will not do that, because they will not get it. A and B, it's not the person of trust who talks to them. So in that sense, you need to find a way to leverage the knowledge you have in-house and the trust networks in a way that it actually works on a sustainable longer time frame, right?
Yeah.
So we always try to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, so on that one, just a few pointers for anybody who's listening or watching. So adaption.microsoft.com has a lot of information about Champions Network. Again, Caruana Katimo is really driving the content there. And then there's actually monthly meetings with the champions. So you can then learn from the other champions on the adaption things as well. So those are great resources to get more involved and understanding what the Champions model actually means in practice. So,
yeah,
championship then, model. No,
exactly. And then of course,
Champions League.
Of course, producing large manuals obviously doesn't work anymore. So people need very short, let's say, and digestible blips of information. You know, we are the nine second society. You know, we have a shorter attention span than a goldfish. So. In that sense, you also need to shift the...
Who are you?
Yeah, exactly.
So that is an interesting point, right? Because again, going back to, you've been around in this space for a long time.
Yeah.
And you're mentioning like one more thing that has changed over the course of years, attention span. How does that affect, how do you see that affected the way we learn? And how do you specifically translate that to teaching people complex stuff? Like you don't just learn something in a minute, right? So how do you see that evolving, and what techniques do you use to help people learn with these kind of handicap that we've got now with attention span being really, really short?
So, you know, when it comes to new stuff, you know, there's first it's always the same. It's kind of the change resistance which kicks in. And it always depends also a bit on the demographics or the age of the users, let's say the older generation, they're first like, oh no, not any new things and so on. And let's say the millennials and younger, they're more like, okay, yeah, sure. They're like more native with that type of stuff. So first you have the problem with kind of these two type of audiences, and you need to find a way which kind of works for both. So in that sense, this is the first thing you need to tackle. And then you cannot, when you roll out a new software or technology in that sense, or something very profound changing the way of work like N365, you need to kind of run it like a marketing campaign. So you need to try to sell it somehow to them. So we have split that in four different campaigns. And the first campaign we call Discovery Campaign. And Discovery Campaign, we try to show the value of that new thing as fast as possible, you know, so, and taking also this first fear away of new things. So this is kind of the main purpose. And of course, this is a different type of communication than further down the line when it's in the second, say, the really classical webinar, knowledge transfer stuff. And once you get more, let's say, tools about productivity and get better and know stuff like that. So you cannot go on the very first day and talk to a person about Power Platform and flows and stuff, because they will be totally like overwhelmed with
it. Yeah,
stuff.
It would just go so like,
you
need to tell them, hey, why you are doing it and what is in it for you. And hey, this is actually not hard to do. Okay. There's not so much changing for you. just don't panic, right?
So don't panic, yes.
Yes. Yeah, this is kind of the first type of communication you need to do, right? And this is, and there are different ways to do it. Is it with videos? Is it with webinars? Is it with flyers? Is it with something very simple that people can grasp really quickly, right?
Yeah. And again, the champions network and champions guidance and all of that helps, because again, what you want to do with all of this discovery is to make it relevant for that particular industry and company, so that it's not like a completely abstracted, random, not relevant for our business messaging. So
yeah, correct.
It always should be adapted on the company details for sure. So. Good. Let's talk about a bit about also about you being an MVP. You've been an MVP for X amount of years. Why 11 years? 11
already. That's how time flies.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I got it in 2013 the first time. Yeah.
Cool.
The best you get out of the MVP community is the friends you're making. So the connections you make. And also sometimes a bit the knowledge you get ahead of everyone else. But let's say, in my point of view, I think the most valuable things are the connections you can make in the program. But having said that, you know, we MVPs, we're also just human beings. So when you are in a conference, just come talk to us, you know, and if you are a fun person, then of course we really like to hang out with you, you know. So in that sense,
only if you're a fun person, not
No, but having said that, some people see that, oh, those MVPs, and you know, we're just normal guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're just a bit more, enthusiastic about stuff than other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe also, you know, more outgoing with our opinions, which is exactly why you are MVP, because you share your opinion in the open as opposed to keeping it to yourself, even despite being a Finn.
Yeah. some very smart person always says sharing is caring, right? Right.
Sharing is scary.
It's scary, but it's also
scary. It's scary.
Yes, definitely.
But it's also caring, for sure. Yeah. And that's what the MVP OBS status is all about. It's the people helping other people to succeed within their work and sharing information, sharing their knowledge for others to consume. So, And MVP Summit is next week. I actually know about the answer on this one. But what about you? Are you coming on the? We are actually releasing this during the MVP Summit. This recording. So.
Okay. Oh, cool.
So cool. We're so asynchronous.
Yeah, exactly. No, I will not be making it this time because of work.
You have been in the campus, right? So in the past, because you've been 11 years, so we've kind of seen it. I think it's the best experience is when you come there first time, because again, you can imagine being in Microsoft MVP and then you do the first trip to the MVP to the Microsoft campus and be
the
like
mothership. The mothership.
The mothership and the events after in the evenings, exactly.
Yes.
So I think I've been there in 2019. So it was the first time I've been, and I haven't been after that because then there was the COVID whole thing where
what was that? Can't remember. So.
Yeah, exactly. it was definitely a lot of fun, very, very interesting. And it was kind of overwhelming to see the whole Redmond campus, how big that is. It's like a whole city, you know, and you take buses from one campus to another and so on. So, yeah, it's definitely interesting experience.
Yep, for sure. It's interesting to see also the new MVPs next week or this week, whenever this is going to release. I'll be on site at the campus as well. But
yeah, congrats to everyone.
But it's always always the thing. If you get the MVP status, for those who do not know how this actually works, you still need to pay by yourself to travel and travel to the on-site. So it's not a Microsoft paying for you to travel to the campus. So there's always an investment, and that is also time away from invoicing and customer engagement. So the cost can actually go pretty high.
Exactly. So also with all the community events we are running, right? So call-up days, they are, you know, we are not paying the the speakers to come.
Correct.
Of course, there's the speaker dinner and the speaker gift, but it's just more, let's say, more a token of appreciation.
Yeah. So
but
this one is one of the speaker gifts, what I've got in my...
I remember
just
that
give
one.
An example.
I remember that one. Yeah, so exactly. So it's very, I mean, we should be really grateful for all the guys doing, girls doing that and traveling around the globe to do it. I was actually planned to go to North America Collaboration Summit, but because of personal reasons, I cannot go, unfortunately. But I mean, you would travel around the globe, and yeah, as you said, it's on your own pocket mostly. But of course, again, you make connections, and you know, business opportunities can arise. And
it is an investment in yourself and in your work, right?
And the best things happen when you show up. Right.
So in
life, you need to show up. Just show up, and things are happening. Right. This is kind of one of a very, let's say, a motto I'm living my life with.
Yeah, yeah, and it is that, right? Because like many folks talk about, you know, serendipity and luck, but you create your own luck, exactly as you say, by showing up, by being in places when it's, you know, more opportune, as opposed to I'm gonna be at home and I'm gonna not talk to anybody. Well, that's cute. Yeah. What are the odds that somebody will know about you, as opposed to go out there, talk to folks, talk to like-minded folks.
Yeah.
Who knows? You know?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Now, watching the clock, we're running out of time in a second, but typically what we do within the end of the show is asking what's happening this week. If you can talk about a bit about how does your work behave this week or next week? You already said you're again flying to Zurich today.
Yes. So today going to Zurich, spending the next 2 days in Bern at the customer for the program increment planning. And then on Friday, I'm at the Ignite in Zurich in the Congress House. Cool. So Experts Inside is silver sponsor, and we are there at, you know, doing our booth duty. So talking to partners and customers and Microsoft there, so meeting some of the Microsoft contacts and friends. I've been running some Viva programs and Copilot programs, so let's see if I can get them to book us a little bit more for the spring for a few webinars. So that, and next week I will be mostly at home delivering my deliverables for my customers, because this week they will be a bit in the backlog, of course, so because of the traveling.
I have to ask about the pool thing, because I know Experts Insights does that a lot. Is that beneficial? Is it actually or is it only for hanging? Is it actually providing enough leads and value?
Absolutely. Okay. So whenever you are a vendor or have a product or so, go to the conferences, support the communities. They need it. You need it. It's especially also with call-up days, it's the cheapest way to actually generate quality leads for you. It's there's nothing cheaper than that to do it. and it really helps you, right? And what we have learned with Experts Insight, we also have our product, the Easy Life. And of course, being at the conference with the product is much easier to generate leads than, let's say, for a consulting company. But for us as Experts Insight, we are the mother company of it. There's always, let's say, a consultancy collateral type of work coming from doing product sales.
Yeah. And on that, the last year at ECS, can I call it a booth? I don't think that calling it a booth would do it.
That's really true.
It's a conference experience.
It was a hub. It was really the central place. And every single time I was around, there was just influx of people buzzing around and doing stuff, doing activities, chatting to you folks. So it was really like well thought out, well
so
run.
This year again. So come to our booth and have a beer and eat
shoot nerve guns and do whatever. Like you had tons of things to do there. So it was fun, entertaining. People could learn a thing. It was really, really cool.
You know, in some of the first conferences, what we said, just come to our booth, have a great time. We don't sell you anything. Just hang out with us. This is how we have advertised it.
That reminds me, the other day I read about the bespoke tailors in Italy.
Yeah.
you know, the folks who would make you a suit or whatever.
Yep.
Basically, the way they go about it is that business is going to happen only when the customer brings it up. Other than that, it's a social place where you have a coffee, because you can chat about kids, about life. There is no meter going on. You're not, unless you bring it up as a customer.
Exactly. Yeah. So in 80% of the conversations was, hey, what are you guys doing? You know, and then
there you go. You know? There you go. Like, people get curious about, like, there's no need for you to be like on top of them and very much, you know, pushing things. Like, absolutely not. That's
don't
really
try too hard. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true, and don't be pushy. That, especially for Finns, that never works. And that's one of the, if you're starting to be a bit more pushy salesperson, it's like, bye bye, I'll just walk away. Thank you.
If you, if you kind of bribe them with beer, stop the money.
Works better.
Don't spill the beans. Don't spill the beans.
Yes. Now, Waldeck, what's happening on your table? And
we've just done a very cool thing. So over the last, for the last few weeks, me and Gary experimented on a new thing, which is, what if you could complete a Microsoft 365 learn module without a dev tenant and still be able to write all of the code, and you would see like every exercise you write actually work. So we launched just a brand new thing, a module as an experiment, and we would love everybody to take it and tell us what you think. Is this something that, you know, allows you to still learn? And is it something that you would like us to see, or that you would like us to do more of beyond the experiment that we've got now? So we will share a link to the module. We're extremely excited about the idea, and also like how it simplifies onboard. Like when you are a brand new dev and you go to learn, you don't need to subscribe for anything, get attend. Yes, you will be able to do that eventually down the road, but you don't need to start with that. So you can just start and learn immediately without any upfront, let's say, effort. And then down the line, when you think like, hey, I want to do more of that, then yes, then you can get a tenant and get some additional tools and all that. But that's not something you need to begin with. So we're really keen, curious to learn more about from you. How do you like the experience? And is it something that you would like us to do more?
Cool. And quickly recapping on my table, obviously MVP Summit. I think we have 12 sessions in the Microsoft 365 developer track. Me and Waldeck are the MVP leads on the Microsoft 365 developer side. Waldeck cannot join, unfortunately, in person, but that's we talked about that in the past then. And then prepping, a lot of engineering work is happening as well, and communication work. So SPFX 1.19 beta is coming pretty soon out, and Viva Connection bot stuff is coming on the Teams platform. So a lot of interesting stuff as well. And enjoying that yellow big thing on the sky. It's
exactly.
Wow.
Right thing is that.
Yes, right here. Right. Cool. I guess that's... Yeah, sorry.
If you are at the summit next week, then go say hi to Isidora. She's the only one from Experts Insight coming there. Yep. So.
Absolutely. Will do. Yeah. Absolutely. I think we saw her at the ECS last time. So
correct.
With the baby walking around. And
Sam and Patrick.
And everybody
and
else. Yes,
you
exactly.
were there. You were there too, right? Yes. At ECS last year.
Yeah.
There you go.
Cool. I guess that's it for now. So thank you, Jussi, joining on the chat. Really cool to catch up as well. And all the best with Experts Inside, because you are the experts inside.
Exactly.
Badoom.
So how do you say Finnish? Thank you. Sorry. Thank you.
And sorry for.
Thank you. Always an inevitable time.
Yes. That's a typical Finnish, unfortunately, typical Finnish attitude on many things. So I'm sorry that I'm here. So,
also, thank you guys. It was a pleasure.
Yep, absolutely.
Thank you,
and thank you, Waldeck, for joining. And we'll be back again within a week with new people. And on that week, we'll go through the latest articles. But thanks, everybody, for watching and listening. And we'll be back.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.